you here order anything online? Anybody here order anything online? At least once? Okay. So, now we order a lot of things online, and we, you know, when you go to the store and you buy something, you pretty much know that, you know, you went, it's like the whole sending and delivered stuff doesn't factor in, does it? Because you're walking out with the item. But when you buy it online, we tend to want to know exactly where that item is that we bought, don't we? So they set up for us, who are wanting to know exactly where something is, they set up alerts on our phone if we want to receive alerts or email. Well, we have alerts. Carl and I have alerts on our phone. I should say Carl has alerts on his phone. So the very first alert that he gets is when a package is actually shipped, a message is sent. And this is one of the messages Carl pulled. It is, your Amazon Prime Now order will arrive soon. So if we wanted to track it, we could track it. So we know it has shipped. All right, that's good news, right? So then the second thing we'd like to know is, well, I need to know, because I'm not going to be home, or maybe I'll be home, I need to know that it has been delivered. And I will tell you that sometimes the mailman will come right up to my door, and I have glass on my door, and I don't realize that he has left a package for me. Now, I know that's kind of sad that I don't see that sometimes, but I can get so caught up in what I'm doing. So then an alert will come when it has been delivered, and it will say, your Amazon Prime Now order has been delivered. So if you want to view your order, you can still look at it. Okay, so it's been delivered. So now I have a question. How do you know that it has actually been received? So it could be sent, it could be delivered, but how do you know that it's been received? Well, that's certainly easy when we're the receiver. Right, when we buy something for ourselves. But how about when you're sending it to somebody? Right, you're sending maybe a surprise. So you know that it has been sent, right? You know that it has been delivered. But how do you know that the person actually received it? I'm going to give you a great example. It is when you send flowers to the hospital. It's been delivered. Right? It's right there, wherever it is that they put all the flowers. But how do you know that the person, the loved one, has actually received the flowers in their room? Faith. yes, by belief. Well, let's take a look at when we think about the sent, delivered, and received. It fits perfectly with our story for today. You know, 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, that we talked about the Holy Spirit was going to be sent in the Gospel of John. Do you remember that it was another paraclete? And so for the Greek-speaking people, they knew exactly what paraclete meant. It's not a word that we use often today, right? And we talked about that it would be a person, God incarnate, one that would be like Jesus, another teacher, another comforter, another advocate, right? Another divine one who walks alongside. And that promise was made. Now, today, we get to hear in Acts that the promise was actually delivered. The disciples are waiting for this. Where are they? As I said to the kids, they're hiding. It is the season of Pentecost. It is the festival of Pentecost, which in for Greek-speaking Jews, Penta means 50. Okay, so it's their festival that happens 50 days after the second night of Passover. It can also be, you might have heard it as the festival of weeks. And it is the time in which the Jewish people from all over the place will come to the temple, and they will give the first fruits of their spring crop. So they give their first, which is 10% of the crop comes in first, all that 10%. Is given at the temple and burned, mind you. So they're all there bringing their offering to Jesus. And that's where the 10% comes in when we talk about giving, because they are trusting now that the next 90% is going to come in. So that's why they're all there. Jews from all over the place. Why all the different languages that are being spoken around there. But the disciples are hiding. Maybe they come out every now and then because they're like, oh, there's a big crowd. But for the most part, they're gathered in a room. They're frightened. The leaders are coming after them. Jesus has ascended to heaven. So Jesus isn't physically walking the face of the earth anymore. And they're by themselves. And we heard the kids say, like running, hiding. Luke's story that we hear today starts like this. A sound, and I say Luke because Luke is the author of the book of Acts. A sound like a violent wind blowing came from heaven. Sounds like the Holy Spirit is being sent. And filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Sounds to me like the Holy Spirit is delivered. But how do we know that the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, another paraclete, has actually been received by the disciples? Well, Luke tells us. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the good news of God in different ways. Languages that were specific to the people who were there. That context of people that came from everywhere. They heard it in their own language. Intentional on the part of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are Galilean men who have no idea how to speak these languages. And so what do they say? They must be drunk. They're drunk. And someone says it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, for that time, 9 o'clock in the morning might have been unusual for drinking. But the point was that there are different excuses that can be given for behavior that seems odd to people. The Holy Spirit was indeed received because they were empowered to do something that they could not have been empowered to do on their own. They actually took an action. That's how we know that the Holy Spirit had indeed been received in the disciples. Jesus makes a promise to us. Jesus promises to us to send us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit has been sent, and the Spirit is indeed delivered. So how do we know if the Holy Spirit is received? It's the same way those first disciples knew. Only different for our day and age today. No, I'm not going to all of a sudden start preaching in a language that I cannot speak, which is just about every other language there is. I cannot speak fluently. So no, that's not how it's going to happen here today. It's not going to how it's going to happen out in the community, but it will happen in a different way for each and every one of us. Have you seen it? Have you seen the Holy Spirit received in you and in the other? Because I have. And I can tell you the ways. The very first way I saw that Holy Spirit delivered to someone was a man and his wife who saw this area here well before it got built to the point it's built now. And that man and his wife heard the Holy Spirit say, there needs to be a faith community there, a Lutheran faith community. And they went and helped make that happen and stopped at nothing to do that. When the very first time that it didn't go, they went out looking for another person that would do it and traveled all the way across the United States interviewing different pastors to see who would fit to come in here. That's the Holy Spirit. Take a look around now. The Holy Spirit was in action in those two people. How else is the Holy Spirit active? The Holy Spirit was active when this ministry first started by teachers who came forward, who never taught Sunday school before and said, you know what, I'm going to try it. And who taught Sunday school for almost 2 years when the Holy Spirit, okay, said, it's time, you can rest now. And the Holy Spirit then brought forward in someone else's heart who's been doing children's ministry for years and years and years, who stepped forward and said, this is my time now here, and started again our Kids for Christ program. Oh my goodness. And more people through the gift of the Holy Spirit start saying, yes, I have the gift of teaching. Yes, I can do this. And others said, geez, I have no idea. I don't have the gift of teaching. And sometimes I don't even know what the heck is going on. But I can do this. I can help. I can learn. That's the Holy Spirit in action. That's how we know the Holy Spirit has been received. Two women who said, I have a gift and I want to teach other people how to use this gift. And a ministry is born where blankets, lapkins are made and given out to people who are in crisis for comfort. And lots of people step forward and said, I have no idea what to do with this thing that has a little hook on it. But the Holy Spirit is bringing me to this place to learn, to be taught, to try. The Holy Spirit has spoken in the hearts of some of our folks that they said, I am going to dedicate time to learn how to become a caregiver for others. Our Stevens ministry that we do in partnership with Emmanuel Lutheran Church, we have now raised up four Stevens ministers. Not an easy program to go through, but the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts. And they were bold and said, I can do this. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And I see it. When I look in your faces, I see it in every single one of you. Every single one of you. I see it in the Prayer Bear ministry, where someone saw an idea and said, we can do that. And these prayer bears have gone all the way across the United States and overseas to bring comfort to people. There are those who are frightened to come forward and to lead and help our people in worship, in song. Boom. Their anxiety dropped. They said, I can do this, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the music ministry at Living Faith began. There's someone in our congregation whose heart cries out for those mothers of premature infants who have to stay in the hospital even though their stay is over. And through the work of this individual, an entire ministry has developed in which little baby caps are knitted and crocheted to keep our little infants, these little premature, God's special little children, warm. There are hearts, loving hearts, that when these hearts of fabric are rubbed on a skin of the mother and laid in the bassinet, the incubator with the child can smell that and there's comfort. And guess what? I was getting my hair done and happened to mention to somebody, I heard, oh, you like to crochet? Well, we do this really awesome ministry. And this person said, please, 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 give me the patterns. I want to help. That's the Holy Spirit. Not working through me, yes, working through me, but turning that person's eyes, turning their hearts. They don't know it's the Holy Spirit. We can name it. We can see it. That's the Holy Spirit working in that person. We have people in our congregation who are advocates for the marginalized, who speak out against any of the discrimination, racism, issues that are going on, and marginalization of the LGBT community. Those who stand and they are voices for those who are not being heard. That is the Holy Spirit. There are those of you in your workplaces that freely talk about God, talk about this place, and invite people to come here. That is the Holy Spirit at work. Sometimes we need to look outside of here to see where the Holy Spirit is working. For example, in my community, there are these grace packs, pack boxes that are put out, because in the school system, two teachers saw the need for children who on Monday mornings are coming in hungry and there's behavioral issues and they're tired, only to discover they're not eating on the weekend because there's no food at home. And so grace packs were born. And you gather, they're in our community and other communities, there's a gathering of food, and this food is then placed in a child's backpack so no student will know who's going home with food and who isn't. How beautiful is that? Is that the work of the Holy Spirit being received in someone? Yes, they may not know it. You can name it for them. The same with the caps for love, where we're saving the bottle caps. Same thing, I think you can name so many of them. Here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked in each and every single one of you when you walk through that door. And if you don't think it's frightening to walk into a place for the very first time when you're coming to worship, guess again. It is the most frightening thing. But the Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens, who calls us, who brings us, who is bold. And when you walk through that door, I hope that you were met by people filled with the Holy Spirit who said, come in, have coffee, sign our guest book. Tell me, my name is so-and-so. And what is your name? Welcome. We are thrilled to have you here. You need to be part of our worship experience today. That is the Holy Spirit on both sides being received. And I know that I have missed some of what we do here together and some of what you do outside of here. But the most important thing for you to know is that the Holy Spirit is all around us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. Be bold. Be brave. The Holy Spirit empowers every single one of us, every single day. Now, sometimes we need to be reminded of this, don't we? Kind of like the fact that we have a package that has been sent, we have a package that has been delivered. Has it been received? So here's what I would say. If you need to be reminded of the Holy Spirit, and let's face it, we all do. When you wake up in the morning, if you have an alarm that goes off, I want you to think of that as a text message coming in. The Holy Spirit saying, I'm here. I am with you. I have been sent. I am delivered. Received. Today, perhaps, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you will say, I will let down my guard and I will let the Holy Spirit use me, just like an instrument, just like the flute, where the wind blows through and produces a beautiful sound. Today, I will let the Spirit shine through me so others will see. You see, together we are part of a living faith, a living, faithful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has indeed been sent and delivered. So now, I invite you to show everyone that the Holy Spirit has been received. Amen.